Recently, Anarchist Bible Study did this really great series that I was pretty much there for all of it live, as you can be too if you stay up to the crack of dawn like I do. And what you guys did is that you went over the 2022 State of Theology from Ligonier Ministries, and hopefully Ligonier hasn't blocked me from critiquing them in our last book too much. But I'm sure they pay attention to someone with 300 followers, and we'll leave it at that. But so what Ligonier Ministry does is about every 2 years is they kind of take up a poll of different people. It's very professional and very well done. This is the first time that I've really seen it in this format, but they take kind of 35 different statements. Then what you guys did is you went over those statements. You talked about what was the kind of true biblical answer before it's obviously revealed what the real answer is, but you guys added your flair to it. And then you talked about different makeups for what you thought you would see, what you thought would be the breakdown between different denominations or different groups of people, different alleged Christians, different just different sects, or just the type of people that make up what I think in common parlance is called the church. And you can split hairs over that. But with all those different permutations, and you kind of talked about, well, why was it that we saw this being good or bad or somewhere in between? And so what I want you to do is do the 2023 State of the Church. So I'm going to go over how Christians are doing with our understanding of theology, which is who God is, our sanctification, which is becoming more Christ-like, and we're definitely talking about those crazy kids and how I'm so far outside of high school now that I don't know the slang, and I'm okay with that. And so that's how old I am, is I don't know, and I'm to the point where I don't care. And yeah, so
same.
And then we'll get into some practical applications from there. So, Josh, is there anything that I haven't covered as far as a good overview of State of Theology?
We have a playlist actually, and I've sent it to Patrick. He can post it and however he wants to, where we did go through these things. We did go question by question. And one of the things that we would do is we would look at the overall question. And then we would, if you go to stateoftheology.com, and the Data Explorer is where they show even percentages of how everyone answers the question. And so we would kind of, we kind of fell into a rhythm of what we would do is we'd talk about the question, we'd answer the question, and then we'd read Ligonier's answer to the question. And then we would look at the breakdown of who answered it right, who answered it wrong. And then, they have filters that set up where you can kind of look at specific demographics. And we were most interested, what we were most interested in was how do evangelical believers answer the question, and how do people who rarely or frequently attend church answer the question? Those were kind of our questions, because that was kind of, as people who are big believers in the church and as people who are evangelicals, we wanted to see how they answered, because it's interesting how most Christians answer, but the way I kind of think about it is, generic Christians, I'm really not interested in what they have to say. I want to know what evangelicals, and they define evangelical based on people who believe the authority of scripture, I believe is how they would call it, the necessity of evangelism, the importance of the cross, and a couple other questions that they use as kind of defining questions. And if they answered strongly agreed to all five of those questions, they're considered evangelical. And so we wanted to know how evangelicals answered, especially because we want to know how people who claim to take the Bible seriously, how good they are at actually reading it. Because that's the thing that I've, as a person who's grown up in evangelical circles, when I critique conservative Christianity, I do so as one who has a vested interest. I care about evangelical Christianity. I consider myself one. I pastored in those circles. I never want to leave. I love these people, and I want to know what they believe about these things. And then we also wanted to know how church attendance affected things, because and I would say one overarching thing that we noticed is that on all but a few questions, regular attendance in an evangelical church was sometimes a stronger indicator of getting the right answer than even being an evangelical believer. So, so not how you identify, because that's largely how, you know, believer, you know, belief is really like, okay, so I value these five things, but what does that tell me? That tells me nothing except for you value these things. But actual attendance in an evangelical church, was a huge indicator of whether or not they had orthodox answers, and correct answers. Right. Yeah. That, and that was a big thing that we discovered, and actually in some ways was kind of a, like it kind of raised our spirits. So we, after tearing through these and kind of talking about how terrible these answers were, we get to the last episode in our series. It's 101.5, because I'm a weirdo and don't know how to number my episodes. But we titled it Reasons for Optimism in Theological Education. We said there's actually a lot about this that we can feel good about. And that was one of the big ones, is that if you're attending a faithful churches are preaching good stuff, by and large. And that's what's going to produce future pastors, future leaders, future fathers and mothers who are going to raise their children. And so that's really, if that's what's going on, then that's good news, as long as we can hold on to it. And I think there's reasons to wonder if we are going to, but
so you're kind of taking the gray pill. Yeah. There's a white mixed with some pepper in there to even it out.
Yeah, there's a whole thing. We'll probably come back to it. But
so what you're saying is you're begging for nuance. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, on the show we always say definitions matter, and that's important to talk about the definition of what evangelical is, because if you let the world define it, it's anyone who owns a Bible and a half and make read it during lunchtime, and they're the Christian nationalists that want to subject women to forced impregnation.
But I mean, as much as I may have disagreements, as you might guess by the name of my podcast, with Christian nationalism, I would rather everyone be a Christian nationalist than most evangelicals, to be honest. Like, I think at least the Christian nationalists know what they believe.
There you go.
I think that's the biggest problem, is like you say, like, definitions matter. Well, for so long, evangelicalism is defined by identifying as an evangelical. Like, this is, you know, this is the world that we live in, where you can self-identify as whatever you want. The Christianity has been taking that on far longer than the gender ideology world has, where I've been like, what is a Christian? Well, do you call yourself a Christian? And saying that there are actual standards that defines what an evangelical is, I think is actually part of the problem, is that there needs to be definitions to what an evangelical is. And I think that's largely why we see so much confusion among evangelicals, is because the basics aren't even being taught of evangelicalism. And that's another thing that we've talked about on our ABS show. We have another series that we call The Evangelical Downgrade. And then we also talked about a couple statements, like the Cambridge Declaration, which is about the full name is the Cambridge Declaration of Confessing Evangelicals, and that goes over the five solas. And what's crazy is I grew up in an evangelical church, and I didn't know the five solas until seminary. I grew up in a Presbyterian church. I didn't know the Westminster Shorter Catechism until seminary. We're not taught content in evangelical churches because we're afraid of scaring people away, but it's turning out to have the opposite problem, that we're actually, people are just kind of sliding out the side door because we're not ever giving them a reason to stay. You know?